What you need to know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Linz, what do you got?
Well, what you need to know is that we've got another feel-good Lakers game story, because for the second straight game, a lucky Lakers fan drilled a half-court shot to win tens of thousands of dollars. That is correct. A lucky fan won 25 grand after hitting the shot from 47 feet away. The winner is the 13th contestant to make it since the challenge started in 2006. The jackpot reset, because on Monday, another fan hit the shot. And so then poor this guy, he does, you know, the next day he does the same thing and he only gets 25 grand. The other guy got 75. But anyway, it's going to be.
Listen, it is what it is.
Right.
Lottery.
Yeah, you won. You still got 25 grand. It's better than nothing. And of course, this will be the last half court shot during a Lakers game at Crypto.com Arena for a while, because they're heading to Milwaukee to join Sedano to start their 6-game road trip, which we're going to talk about next.
Yep. So, Cappy, how many chances do you think? I mean, half-court shot is hard. You could literally take 100 shots and probably not make it. What, like, could you hit an NBA three, like 23 feet?
How many shots do I get?
How many do you think you need?
I think I need 10.
You think you 10? Can make one out of 10?
That's 10? It?
Nah.
No chance.
No.
No like, way.
No.
No, no way you do it.
Can't hit
10.
One out of 10?
No.
Can
no
you hit
way.
One out of 20?
Nah.
Are you allowed to have?
Maybe.
Are you allowed to have a running start?
Maybe.
We're talking about just
running.
We're just talking
start.
About standing
no.
there. You're talking about standing there by yourself. Are we talking about half court or NBA three?
No, just an NBA. An NBA three is far, dude.
Right. No. I know, but I'm saying that if you gave me 10 shots from an NBA
no.
3-point,
no.
I think I
no,
can make
I don't
one
think
of
you
10.
Can make one.
No.
No.
How many could you make, George?
I don't think I can make one out of 10 sometimes. I mean, I've tried it, and there maybe sometimes I would probably go one out of 15 or 20 even.
Okay. Laura, how many could you make? One out of 10?
Just because of the distance.
I'm
talking about from like the top of the key.
Yeah, no, I understand. I got it. I'm saying to you, I didn't go out earlier in practice, so I'm not bringing you real data. I'm just saying to you that if you gave me 10 shots from NBA 3-point range, I think I have a chance to make one. Now, I'm not being arrogant and going 4.5. I'm saying maybe one.
Right. 10's kind of a low number.
How many free throws? They give you 10 free throws. How many do you make?
Oh, free throws, probably. I mean, I don't know. Without warming up, probably half
just,
without warming up. Maybe
so,
six, you know?
Six without warming up.
Five or six without warming up, yeah.
Okay. Laura, how many free throws do you make?
Maybe one or two.
Okay. Linz?
Out of 10?
Yeah.
I'd say I'd make like four.
Yeah. Four is a pretty good number.
I play horse a lot.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Four is a good number.
Yeah.
What?
You guys know George is the master of animal sound effects, right?
I want what he's having.
Yeah.
Birds
Seriously,
and horses.
What did they give you?
I had
the
champagne
hotel?
Earlier at the.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. He's feeling himself because he had the little bubbly in the fruit plate
and
the candy
today.
Yeah,
was in your hotel room.
We were just talking about that. He sent the pictures in the group chat of his fancy.
Yeah, he did.
His fancy 5-star hotel.
It's
in the contract.
It's a greeting. A greeting glass. No, it's not in the contract. It just happens to be this hotel does that. The hotel greets every guest with a glass of champagne.
I love those.
And then some M&Ms and a fruit plate when you get to the room. So
this,
now, the fruit plate, I believe
that.
That's not for every guest. I think that's just like an ESPN thing they do for just to be nice.
I was gonna say, are they thanking you for being like a lifetime platinum member?
No. This is like I don't think this is one of those chain hotels.
Okay. I was going to say, because the one that I stayed in Seattle, they did that. And it was like a little boutique hotel. It was really cute.
Yeah, this is more boutique-y.
Yeah, and they do that. I was like, ooh, I love that. You're more expensive, but it's worth it.
If I'm getting a fruit plate, what do you think Mike Breen and Jeff Van Gundy are getting? They're getting like lobster tails probably in their rooms.
That's in their contract.
Yeah, I'm sure. But all right, that is what you need to know. Brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Cappy, I think we should take you somewhere to shoot an NBA 3 just for bleeps and giggles. Just
not
to see
anywhere.
How many,
not
how long
anywhere.
It would take you to make.
Staples.
You,
yeah, of course. I want to go. I'm going to go to Staples before the game, walk out onto the floor, and go, give me 10 shots. Let me see what happens.
Well, I think we'd have to ask permission. I don't think you can just randomly go on there, because I think the Redcoats would take you out pretty quickly.
That's
so there's
true.
That. So.
How about if we go to the Laker facility?
That might be a little easier to accommodate on a time when they're not there. That might be easier, I would say.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long shot. Don't get me wrong. But I still have the confidence that if you give me 10 shots, I can make one.
Okay. I would love to see this. I think let's do it. I think we figure it out. We figure out a time to get you there. NBA 3. I think what you're going to realize is when you get to that top of the key and you're going to shoot the first one and it may be online. You're like, oh, that's going in. And then what's going to happen? It's going to be an air ball. Because that's what's happened to me when I've done it. The first couple of shots, I'm like, oh, I'm online. That's a swish. And it's like, and it just like air ball right before it hits the rim.
Well, this whole thing started because earlier this week, the guy hit the half court shot at the Laker game and won $75,000. Lindsay, you're saying that it resets to 25, like 25 is the base?
Yep. Because after so many games of someone not hitting it, I don't know how often and what the increment is, but after so many games of someone not hitting it, the pot builds just like the lottery.
Okay, so if I give you 10 half-court shots, you think you can make any of the 10? I mean, that's pure luck, right? I mean, that is just pure luck.
I mean, it takes some skill.
Right.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, if you're like, if you're like someone who actually played basketball, you have a decent chance at it, you know?
Well, I'll tell you who had a decent chance at it last night. My man, Brody. Yeah. 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 Brody. That's right. Brody hit a half court shot.
He did. Yes.
Brody's in a house. Brody's back. Brody, I mean, Brody's been gone for a long time, but Brody's back now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that ain't Russ out there. That's Brody.
What's the difference, Cap?
Oh, it's totally different. Completely different. Totally different guy. Yeah. Russ is the guy who you might have seen on the Lakers last year pouting and playing with a scowl on his face. And he's all upset when the fans are calling him Westbrook. And he's talking about his family being insulted when he's at the games.
Yeah.
But Brody's shimmying. He got a big old smile on his face. He loves his teammates. He loves to make great passes and set people up for success. He likes to drop bombs at the end of quarters and the end of a half. He likes to hit a three-point, like a big old three-point shot. That's Brody. Yeah.
Can Brody also be efficient when he plays the game? Because he was 4-14 yesterday.
I don't know. Talk to him about that. Why don't you talk to him about that tomorrow before the game? You know,
I'm just curious.
To him his inefficiencies.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really know how to spell Brody, so I've been spelling it lots of different ways on Twitter.
No, I spelled it. I quote tweeted you in the Circle of Trust yesterday, and I spelled it correctly for you.
Well, I don't really know. I mean, so like I spelled it on one tweet, B-R-O, capital D, Brody.
Yes.
Then I spelled it B-R-O-D-Y, and then I even spelled
B-R-O-D-I-E.
Oh, there's an official spelling of a nickname, Brody?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What about B-R-O-D-E-E, Brody?
No. Nope. No.
I mean, it could be, but, you know, just like other things, there's like actual names. It's like Brody is also a name.
Right. But does our Brody actually like
Your Brody.
Oh, he ain't your Brody?
I'm just saying you said.
Oh, he not your Brody?
I wonder how Brody Jenner spells his name. I'm going to look that up.
I think it's B-R.
I feel like it's a Y.
Yeah, it's a Y.
I would spell it capital B, small R, small O, capital D. I think that's a much cooler spelling of Brody.
Would you put a dash in there?
Brody.
Bro dash D.
Yeah. So then you're underscore. Like when you call me Brody, you're not calling me Brody like a name. You're calling me like Brody.
The reason he's called Brody, he goes by Brody, is because his dog was also Brody.
Well, I'm glad
you
cleared that up because no one ever knew that before.
I didn't know that.
No.
I didn't.
Yeah. He had a Maltese, little toy dog, and it was Brody. And like him and Brody are like Brodies, you know, like brothers, Brodies, you know, like buddies, Brodies. Yeah.
That's my bro.
This is new to me.
I didn't know it either, Cap.
Well, all I know is last year when
what
Russell
if I'm
Westbrook
just completely
signed,
making that up and you're
are
buying
you?
That
could because be. I didn't know that.
That could be the
I
case.
Was about to Google it.
Yeah, I was like, I did not know.
No, it had something to do with his dog. I don't remember specifically if it's a Maltese, but
I was
it
like,
might
really?
I know it has something to do with his dog actually.
Yeah. I mean, I give you props. You had us all going, so.
Not many.
I mean, you did for I mean, I am fairly certain it has something to do with his dog, but and it might, and I know it's a toy dog, but I don't know if it's a Maltese
That's
or not.
That's funny.
I like that you tried to make it up, though, and get us, which you almost had us. So,
yeah.
you say
but
he wasn't
it might
all
be
that
true.
Efficient. You say he wasn't all that efficient last night, right?
He was not, yeah.
But how about Austin Reeves? Let me tell you one of the things I'm loving about Austin Reeves right now.
What are you loving about Austin Reeves?
First of all, I love the effort, okay? And he's the only white guy on the team, right? So everybody compares him to Caruso, and he's diving for balls, and he's hustling up and down the floor, and he's trying on every play. Okay, fine. But I like the fact that he seems to be everybody's go-to guy. Like, after the game last night, he's being interviewed by Trudell, and LeBron comes over to him, and LeBron's all over him, and to the point where Reeves is like, man, get off of me. Like, he actually said to LeBron, stop touching me, you know? And then Brody came by, and Brody was showing him all kinds of love. It tells me that the team is starting to gel. There's something happening with the team, the chemistry, the locker room, the travel, being together, the guys.
Well, they better gel quick because they're about to play a really tough schedule coming up, including a team that's won a championship in the last 2 years. So there's that. So,
well, I mean, the likelihood of them winning this game tomorrow night at the Bucks, I mean, I don't think there's much chance. I mean, people would probably look at the Lakers.
I mean, it's one game.
Yeah,
it's
but, one game, you know, I mean, but look, the Lakers.
We got a break, Cappy.
Oh, we do? Gosh, I'm feeling like I'm on a good roll.
Did you not hear Lindsay say we got a break?
No, I never heard her say that. No.
Oh. I only said it to Sidano, so sorry.
Yeah, that's why. Hear that, George? That's why.
But you need to say it to him because he's the one talking.
Well, I know. I'm just saying I can only press one at a time, and usually I press both, but you know.
Oh, all right. Yeah. All right, we'll break.
Mobby.
But I do think that they are coalescing, Cappy. Yeah, they are. Yeah. All right, we got a break. Lars's break.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
I'll admit that. My love don't cost a thing.
If you mean a thing, you mean I know. If you want a thing, you mean I know.
My love don't cost a thing.
It's a great song, actually, if you think
about
it.
It is a good song. Very good song.
Blake Harris believes you can pull up from deep, Cappy.
He does. What's he saying?
I mean, he's actually got a meme of a guy who's basically clanking everything.
Really? Yeah. I just think if you give me 10 shots, I realize it's NBA three-point range. It's not college three-point range, and there's a big difference, and it's a longer distance, and, you know, especially when you don't play. I don't play basketball. You know, I don't go out to the JCC anymore and, like, you know, go shoot around with the fellas, and mostly because I don't like shirts and skins, because I don't like to be on the skins because I'm gross, and I don't want to defend against the skins because they're gross. So I don't like shirts and skins. And that's kind of what stopped me from playing JCC basketball.
Do people still do that?
I don't know.
Is that like what the standard is?
Yeah, of course they do.
For pickup?
Yeah, I mean, in like places where it's warm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm out on shirts and skins. Guys are gross.
Okay.
And I'm
speaking real quick, before we get to, I want to talk some football here because there's an interesting situation with the Rams kind of brewing at the moment. Mm-hmm. But Jovan Buha of The Athletic has a story out today about the Lakers, basically saying that the Lakers' trade options as of December 15th, which is why they've kind of like started to kind of explore those options, because December 15th is when guys who are traded for or sign new deals can be dealt, for the most part, not all of them. Some are January 15th, but the vast majority of them can be dealt on December 15th. And he says that the Lakers are exploring three options, according to sources. You ready, Cappy? You ready
I'm ready to hear it.
All right. Path one is trade Russell Westbrook plus a pick or two for a star or a multiple player haul. Okay? That's path one. Ready for path two?
Writing these down, as a matter of fact, just so you know, George.
Okay. Are you ready for path two then?
Yep.
Path two is to trade some combination of Patrick Beverley and Kendrick Nunn, which is probably, if I had to do the math in my head, probably like around like $17 or $18 million, and picks, one first round or maybe multiple second round picks for role players who better address the needs and upgrade the rotation. Path three would be two separate deals, one with Westbrook plus a first round pick, another using Beverley and Nunn and a pick package as well.
Okay. so high alert for Brody and for Pat Bev and for Kendrick Nunn. High alert. Because now everybody's thought process going into the season was, this is all about getting rid of Russell Westbrook. Whatever we can do to get rid of Russell Westbrook. George, would you agree that Russell Westbrook has changed the minds of Laker fans? That getting rid of Russell Westbrook was the priority preseason, but as of today, do you think getting rid of Russell Westbrook is still the top priority?
Of smart Laker fans, yes.
How about like average intelligent Laker fans like myself?
Probably not.
Yeah. Right. So those of us of average intelligence, we are emotional. I like Russell Westbrook now.
Wait a second. You hated him that long ago.
Correct. A year ago.
No, I mean that in like a sports hate way, like a real hate way.
Yeah. Yeah. A year ago, I hated him. Now I love him. Going into the season, hated him. Now I love him. In fact, I'll go so far as to say Russell Westbrook's my favorite player on the Lakers right now. What do you think of that? That's mid-level intelligence right there. That's mid-level.
Yeah.
That is.
Mid-level. It's interesting because Kendrick Nunn also got the mid-level exemption, and you're willing to trade him. So there you go. It all makes sense now.
Well, I do think this is interesting that we're talking about three potential transactions. You said Russ for a star and one of the two picks that we've all been talking about, 27 and 29. Or maybe it's
Pat Bev. Well, it says a pick. No. It said plus a pick or two.
Okay,
it
plus a pick
mean
or two.
Either or. Yeah.
Okay. Pat Bev and Kendrick Nunn for role players.
Right. No, but that also there's got to be at least a pick in there or maybe a bunch of seconds or something like that.
Okay. And then finally, ultimately, two separate deals. One is for Westbrook. Get rid of him. Go in this direction. Get rid of Patrick
Beverley
and Kendrick Nunn. Yeah. They're going in a different direction. Yep. Mm-hmm. And three guys maybe wind up bringing back four or five or six different pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly.
Maybe not that many pieces, but probably four or four.
Okay.
Probably like four, it sounds right. Three or four, yeah.
How do you think Patrick Beverley's feeling right about now? Wait a second. Whoa, hold on. What do you mean?
Yeah, I don't think he cares. I mean, I'm sure he'd love to be here, but it's just like, you know, he's probably, maybe he's not as great a fit as he thought, and maybe that he thinks there's a place he's a better fit. So.
Maybe. Kendrick Nunn, he's probably like, wait, really? Like, do I have any value? Does anybody even want me? Come on, I barely played. I barely played this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is his value?
That one is interesting. Yeah. So I don't know what his value is. No, there's not much value there, I think, on his own, other than his contract is like $6 million or so.
If I told you you could trade Russ and a first round pick and get a star, or you could trade Beverly and Nunn and bring back and a pick and bring back multiple role players, and you could only do one or the other, which one would you prefer to do?
Well, it says here that according to Jovan Buha of The Athletic, that the Russ trade could potentially bring back, you know, multiple players as well. Like, it doesn't have to be just like one guy. Like, obviously, Indiana, right, is an example, right? They would bring back two guys in that scenario. So, I mean, I think they need more than one guy. I mean, it just depends who that one guy is, right? But I think, in general, they need more than one guy.
Me, personally, I've been saying this for a long time, and this is where I'm at on it. I'd rather keep Brody. Not Russ, Brody.
Brody. Yeah.
I'd rather keep Brody, and if I can get better role players for Patrick Beverley and Kendrick Nunn, I'd like to do that, and I'd like to actually keep Russ on this team for this year.
Okay. Now, let me jump in since you mentioned Brody again. I did look it up on the internet, and I was right. This is from a Thunder blog site that covers the Thunder, and it says, often a player can have copious amounts of nicknames. Russell Westbrook, for example, has many different nicknames. The list has included his dog's name, The Brody. Some originally thought this nickname may be tied to the Wire television show and a character named Bodie, but Westbrook, who looks a bit like that actor, plays the part in that regard. So that's why people thought it was that. But therefore, it was presumed that's where it originated. But research confirms his Maltese dog, I was right about that, is named Brody.
Wow. I would prefer if when I'm really, really hot and I'm having a good time, I'm dancing around, big smile on my face, and I'm kicking ass on the radio, if everybody would start calling me the Jack. That's my dog's name, Jack. And then, you know, okay, that'll be my nickname.
Okay. The Jack.
Right.
There you have it.
Slept.
I mean, I could call you Jack, like Jackass, but I mean.
Well, I mean, you called me Jack Face, which was not very nice.
Jack Face. Yeah, Jack Face.
That, you know.
Yeah. Jack, you like Jack Face better than Jackass?
I don't know. It depends on the circumstances. What do you prefer?
Hmm. Jack Face is a little meaner, I got to be honest with you, because of what the real intent, is there.
What's your, do you have a dog?
We don't have a dog at this stage.
Have you ever had a dog in your life?
We've had many dogs over there.
What was the favorite name of all of your dogs you've ever had?
I had a dog named Riley, named after Patrick James Riley.
That's perfect. So you see, when you do something really well, I'm going to call you Riley rather than George. When Russ does something really great, I call the man Brody. And you can call me Jackie. Use our doggy nicknames.
Doggy it up. All right, dog. We got to go to break. All right. So real quick, Radio Tinder's coming up next. At 5:45, our guy Blake Harris, our Dodger baseball insider, is going to stop by. Yo, the winter meetings are in like a couple of days. Like, things are getting hot around here in regards to Major League Baseball. So Blake is going to hit us up, and we'll talk to him about that.
I'm just letting this play out for a second.
What a great theme.
Really is.
Anybody watch YNR?
Nope. But I like the song.
Nope, not my thing.
I feel like I caught a little bit of it. Was Days of Our Lives NBC or were they CBS? I think Days of Our Lives is NBC. Yeah. What a great song. They should use this on Game of Thrones.
I think it kind of already like is attached to quite a, you know,
iconic.
Iconic, that's the word. Yes. Yeah,
just move it around iconic a little bit.
Show.
A little different arrangement. Fits right on House of the Dragon.
Okay.
Those are
Thanks,
ears,
Christopher.
Laura.
Oh yeah, forgot about that.
All right. So anyway, Cappy, I feel like you'll like this question a lot here. Apparently, a lot of people use their portable devices, whether it's their phone, their tablet, gaming consoles, whatever, while they're on the toilet. A recent study of 10,000 adults revealed that 65% of respondents said they use their phones in the bathroom. But is it healthy to sit on the toilet with a phone? Gastroenterologists say that you shouldn't spend more than 10 minutes doing this. It could lead to hemorrhoids. They could also there's also risk of your body starting to ignore its own signals without getting too graphic there. Plus, bathrooms are just generally speaking, they're gross and filled with germs and you can spread them and catch them and all kinds of fun stuff. Do you guys use your phone or iPad for more than 10 minutes at a time on the toilet? Swipe left or swipe right. Cappy, you go first.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, yeah. What do you think?
I think definitely. Yes, you do.
You're guilty, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I am. It's true. I'll go in, take a seat, get on my phone. And once I go through Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, TikTok, a couple of email accounts, maybe a website or two, before I know it, my legs are sound asleep because my elbows are resting on my legs.
Time.
And when I get up, I can see these red marks on my legs, and my legs have like pins and needles in them because I've been sitting so long, and I've been, yeah, I'm disgusting. I'm in there for a long time with my phone.
Not me, dude. I'm in and out, man. I don't want to be in there very long. Like to me, that's not a thing. Like, yeah. And I'm just like, I don't want to get hemorrhoids. Like, who wants that?
So wait, so why do you get hemorrhoids if you're on the can for a long time?
Because the way you're sitting,
mm-hmm,
it puts pressure on that area and that creates hemorrhoids.
Did you know that, like,
basically the
reason,
the gist of it?
Yeah. And like, generally speaking, most people, like, humans as a whole, they don't use that the right way. And that's why, do you guys ever hear of that invention, like the squatty potty?
Love the squatty potty.
Because
love a squatty potty.
It's not natural to sit on a toilet the way that people do because it has to do with your digestive system and hemorrhoids being one of those things and all kinds of stuff. So yeah, like, just generally speaking, it's not really like the best way to do that.
George, you got a squatty potty
in
the
out,
house?
Bro. We don't have a squatty potty in
squatty
the house.
Potty's
we actually
a fire.
Gotten rid of all We've all got rid of all potties in the house with the children now using actual toilets.
I don't know, but they see the kids would love the squatty potty. Squatty potty is like a little thing you put down for your feet, and what it does is it lifts up your feet and lifts up your knees, and then instead of being at a 90-degree angle, you're at like a 75-degree angle, and that's supposed to be better to move things down.
Yeah.
Love a
Chris
squatty
just
potty.
Says take some Metamucil twice daily, and you'll be out in 60 seconds flat.
Oh, that's probably a good point.
You know, I had my ex-boyfriend used to sit in the bathroom for no joke, like an hour. My brother-in-law does this too, like an hour to an hour and a half. He would take his computer in there and sit in there. And I'm like, what are you doing in there? That's weird.
Well, Mason has openly talked about taking his laptop in there.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, old school, back in the day, my grandfather, we only had one bathroom in the house. My grandfather would go in with the newspaper, and dude, I mean, when he came out, you didn't go near that thing for a good hour and change.
Well, that's what I wonder because, like, especially with my brother-in-law, like, obviously him and my boyfriend, they'd come out of the bathroom and it would both, you know, both of them stink up the bathroom pretty good, I guess I'm saying. And what I want to know is, like, why do you want to sit in there that long when it smells that bad? Like,
no.
Get out of
that's
there?
Not right. No, you have it all
no,
wrong.
It doesn't smell to you as, right. It doesn't smell as much to you.
Oh. No, to you it smells good.
Yeah, I disagree.
Well, it doesn't even smell in some cases. You can't really smell your own poop. I mean, if you can smell your own poop, you know it's really bad.
Oh, no, I can all the time.
But you enjoy it? Yeah.
Then you know it's really bad.
Do you guys want to know what it smells
like?
You
literally just said you enjoy it.
No.
No.
Let's move on, Lindsay.
Yeah,
let's go.
Let's go.
Next.
Oh, my gosh. All right. So I recently watched this movie called The Immaculate Room. It's about a couple who competes for a $5 million prize by isolating themselves in an empty white room for 50 days. It's like, I don't know, like size-wise, it's probably about as big as like three of our studios, right? Mm-hmm. They only have the basics, just a shower, a bed, and food. Everything else is completely white. They don't have any pencils, papers, nothing to pass the time, nothing, right? Mm-hmm. They don't have phones, family, only the room that's trying to break their resolve. Do you guys think that for $5 million, you could make it 50 entire days in an empty room with your partner? Swipe left or swipe right, Sedano.
Empty room? Like nothing? Nothing? Like no, nothing?
You have a bed, a shower, and food, and that's it. And
how about
it's not like good food.
Oh
yeah, and a toilet. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Squatty potty?
Yeah, right.
You have nothing else. Nothing to keep yourself
entertained. I can't take a book or anything?
Nope, nothing.
I mean, she and I can talk for a long time. Like, I mean, I feel like
the only
how big is the space again?
But 50 days? I want to say, let's say it's the size of like a basketball court. They just end up staring at the clock, and then at one point the guy gets like
But I think if it's that big, you know, like you said, like the size of a full length basketball court, like you at least can have your own space. Like you can be on one side, you can be on the other. You can have your own alone time.
Yes.
So I mean, my wife and I generally get along pretty well. Like I would say there's maybe three or four times a year we have one of those like snarky fights, like a quick little snarky fight. We don't fight that much. We tend to like just understand each other. So in the sense, and I don't mean that like that we're always like, oh yay, I love being around you. It's just we just get each other's signals sometimes, or most of the time. So I feel like if you have that in that amount of space, I still feel like you can just kind of be on your own. Now, I think that part would be hard on your own. Like you don't have a book to read or a TV to watch or like a phone. That part will be more challenging than the together part.
Well, they have in the entire room is a clock counting down the time left.
Oh, no.
And they start to crack after like 2 weeks, I want to say. But it's just funny because I thought like just upon hearing it, I was like, oh, I could do that for $5 million. But then like watching it, which is it's very realistic as to like what you would probably happen to you in your mind. I feel like you probably spend less time than that. Like, if you put all the time you spend together with your wife in your lifetime, it probably does not equal 50 days. Like, there's no way it equals 50 whole days.
It might not. I mean, who knows? I don't know. I mean, if I had, like, at least a book to read or something, then yes. But
you are not allowed to have
without it, no.
Nothing.
Is this a real game show?
It's a movie.
Right?
Oh, a movie.
Yeah, and there's like a lady
have sex,
that's
really.
Like, well, you can, but like, well, you know,
right,
because like
you can have sex for sure.
Yeah, like, that's all you get to do.
Yeah, that's then they get bored of that after a while.
I mean, that's good too, though.
I don't know,
Cap. What about you? Do you think?
Well,
you
I mean, in 50 days, Laura. I mean, think about how long the sex would take. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I said 15 minutes, and you were like, "Ugh, what's wrong with you?" And I was like, "Okay, well,
but
with
I'm not
50 days,
saying you're gonna do it for the entire time."
No, but 50 days, you take your time, right?
Well, that's like the only thing to do besides take a shower and like brush your teeth.
No, you could do push-ups, you could do sit-ups, you could do squats.
You could work out. Yeah. It could work out. But 50 days is a long time.
But George, 50 days in an all-white room with a clock counting you down.
Yeah.
Then when you finally get out, you're like, you're like, well, I can't even see anything because I've been in a white room for 50 days. Yeah. My answer is no chance. Can't do it.
No way. No way.
All right, what's next?
All right, so Sony's latest gadget is a set of wearable motion trackers designed to bring users into the metaverse on their phones. It's called the Mokopi system, and it consists of six pucks that are worn around your wrists, your ankles, your head, and your hips, and they are used to animate avatars inside various metaverse apps on Android phones and iPhones. They cost $360, and they're launching in January, and I just want to know if this sounds like something you guys would want to try. Make it like super realistic in the metaverse.
I'm game for it. Why not? Whatever. Let's give it a shot.
I haven't entered the metaverse yet. Has anybody here entered the metaverse?
No,
I have not.
Well, I put those Oculus goggles on one time.
Oh, yeah, I did do that once. But does that count? Is that the metaverse?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure it is. Oh, is there only one verse or are there multiple verses?
No, there's a lot of ways you can belong to the metaverse, but that's one way. Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, I've been in a metaverse, if you want to call like augmented reality. I used to play a lot of Pokemon Go, but like I didn't, you know, there's no like Oculus or anything. It's just on your phone.
Hmm.
But it was cool. Cappy, what about you?
I've only used the virtual reality goggles a couple of times, and I use them for adult content.
So you would probably like these pucks then that help, you know, make things more interactive, right?
I don't know.
Put them on your hands, your feet, and your hips. Like, I feel like that would probably help, Cap.
I put my hands up on your hips. When you dip, I dip, we dip. That have anything to do with this?
No.
Yeah.
No.
I don't think I'm in the metaverse yet. I don't think I'm into it yet.
My nephew asked for a bunch of VR Oculus games or whatever for his headset for Christmas, and I was like, he's 11. How many of these games are there?
You know what my daughter just asked me for? My daughter just asked me for, and tell me if you guys think, you know the new Apple, like, they're not AirPods, they're like headphones, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't know. Like, what do you mean? What are they?
I mean, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
I'll Google it.
Why? She's like,
hey, Dad, you know, these things are, they're on sale. So I looked them up, I'm like, dude, they're $500. She goes, yeah, but on Amazon right now, they're $350. I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, why do I want headphones to walk around with to use my phone? Don't I want little buds to put in my ears?
Well, I feel like you're also like too old for the headphones. I feel like that's a young people thing.
Yeah, no, not me. This is her. She's 19.
She wants the AirPods Max.
Oh, for her then, yes. I actually saw there was, I don't know who he was because I don't know that genre super well, but there was definitely some like 80s rocker guy on one of my flights the other day coming back from wherever the hell I was coming. Oh, from Phoenix. And he was wearing big headphones that were connected to his phone. And he was talking to people.
Yeah, what are they called, Laura? Apple what?
AirPods Max.
AirPods Max.
Wait, their headphones are called AirPods?
Yeah, they're AirPod Max.
That's dumb.
See, that's what I was confused. All confused. Right.
Yeah.
Because I have the AirPods Pro and then the second gen AirPods. And then I was like, oh, they have, because I like headphones. You know, we use them here in studio, whatever. But I'm like, I see people at the gym and I'm like, yeah, they're bulky. I don't want to bring that around with my phone. That's weird.
Yeah, I'm looking at him here. AirPods Max. That's what the guy had. The guy who was definitely like some sort of 80s rocker guy because everybody was trying to take pictures with him.
Yeah, so that's like the new thing because they're retro and they look like old school and stuff. They did.
I have like my Bose headphones, but I only use those on like the plane because they're noise canceling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, they look like nice headphones, but why do I want to talk on the phone on these headphones versus AirPods?
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, I'm with you, Cappy. No. No go.
There's a reason why we have evolved from those things into these things, right?
You know, I thought everything was getting smaller and more compact and easier to use and whatever. Easier to carry around.
These Gen Zers, they got to bring back everything from the past.
Facts.
There it is. That's what it is. They don't know how to do anything original around here, these Gen Zers. All right. Speaking of Gen Zers, Blake Harris. That is Radio Tinder. Each and every day brought to you by friends at Tequila Mandala. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala, award-winning small batch premium sippy tequila made from the finest mature agaves. Demand the extraordinary with Tequila Mandala. So Blake Harris, our Dodger insider, our baseball insider, hot stove is coming up here next week. There's a lot of, obviously, you know, rumors circulating about the Dodgers and everywhere in regards to Major League Baseball. Aaron Judge, obviously, is a big topic of discussion. So we'll get to all that, discuss the winter meetings with Blake next. You know what we need to do, Copy?
Tell me.
We need to go out with Scott again and Beto Duran.
I would love to do it. That was one of the best times of the summer. Just a total impromptu, let's go on a taco tour. And it was me, Beto, Chris, Laura, Josh from our social media team. Laura, was there anybody else that I'm missing?
Funchy.
Oh, Funchy. How could I
forget? Oh, Funchy was there, yeah.
Funchy was there. How could I forget? Yeah. Sorry, Funchy.
So I got an idea. How about we do this?
Mm-hmm.
How about we do, with like the circle of trust, we mm-hmm. do like a, instead of like a bar crawl, a taco crawl.
I love that idea. I love that idea. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just looking at next week's schedule. We're off so much because the Lakers are on the East Coast.
Yeah, but I'm out of town. I got a game.
I'm looking at a date right here for a taco tour, George, giving people enough time to make their plans. How's Tuesday?
No, let's do it like in like January or February,
oh,
bro.
Oh, all right. You want to plan it out that far. See, I like to just get on it.
Yeah, give people time.
All right. I might be into my New Year's diet by then. Eh, probably not.
Who are you fooling? You were supposed to be on a diet September 6th, too.
I walked by a mirror today in my house, and I'm like, who is that? And then I looked at myself, and I'm like, oy vey, is that me? And then I looked at my belly, and I'm like, is that really me? I decided I was going to try and do 100 push-ups during the show. I'm only 20 in.
Yeah. 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 Good luck with that.
That commercial breaks. Let's bring on Blake. Back with I'm out of breath, you know?
Yeah, now we know why. Let's bring on Blake. Blake, would you be in on that if we did like a taco crawl instead of a bar crawl?
Hey, taco crawl, bar crawl, whatever it is, I owe one after missing out on the last live show. So whatever the crawl is, I'll make it happen.
Yeah. You know, I ate 12 tacos last time we did one of these crawls. Oh, my bad. Laura just corrected me. She told me I ate 11.
One right. down.
Right. Beto just texts me. He says, December is tamales, taco tour in January.
Yo, my mom is making tamales for like a bunch of people. Her tamales are bomb. Yeah.
Really? Can she make a few extra?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That would be nice.
Yeah. So, Blake, speaking of extra, the Dodgers are going to be looking for some extra players, obviously, in the next couple of days. So, what is like the hottest rumor right now with them that you think is actually feasible?
I think the hottest rumor that seems like it's just gaining more and more steam is Justin Verlander. I mean, at this point, it seems like the Dodgers are the favorites to sign him. And it seems like if they don't sign him, it's going to come as a surprise. Today, there was an article, and I think it was some MLB executive that said pretty much they expect him to go to the Dodgers. If it's not Houston, which a lot of people don't expect him to go back because the Astros don't want to pay him that much money, a lot of people think it's going to be the Dodgers for one of those 1 or 2 year deals where they just give him 35 to 40 million for one season. So it seems like that rumor, which is something we weren't really even expecting or anticipating entering the offseason, it looks like it's starting to maybe come to fruition. So I think out of all the rumors out there right now, Justin Verlander to the Dodgers is the one that I think has a lot of truth and momentum to it.
I don't know about that. I mean, I know that the rumor's right, but I don't know. Do I want to give a guy 40 years old? And Lindsay's made a very compelling case that he's coming off one of his best years, believe it or not, this far mm-hmm. into his incredible career.
The best year of his career.
But do I really want to give a 40-year-old guy a massive amount of money, especially if it's just a one-year deal? You know, and then all of a sudden he becomes an old guy?
Cappy, this, you know, you're a 50-year-old guy and the station just gave you a lot of money.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, you know, Cap brings up a good point, though. You know, a 40-year-old guy, do you want to be giving him $40 million? I don't know. I'm with you, Cap. You know, age is just but a number. But when you're giving someone $40 million, it's a little worrisome.
Yeah. Hey, Blake, I want to know this. Is it do I sense this correctly, that the Dodgers organizationally just anticipate Trey Turner is gone? Because last year we all knew Corey Seager was going to go, but that was because the Dodgers had Trey Turner. Is it foregone that Trey Turner will not be back?
It kind of seems that way. I mean, as the offseason's gone on, he's been attached to a number of teams, and the Dodgers are just kind of in the back burner. If I were to guess, I think they have a number of years and dollars in mind that they've probably either already presented or they're planning on presenting, and they say, listen, this is our offer. This is the highest we'll go. And they're in a situation where if he takes it, great. Like, that's great for them. But if he doesn't, he takes more money elsewhere. I think they're kind of anticipating that. So that's my guess. It doesn't seem like they're making too much of an effort to really step up to the plate. I heard today that it looks like he's anticipating getting 8 years for $250 million, which is significantly less. I think $75 million less than what Corey Seager got. So if the Dodgers were willing to give Corey Seager $300 million, I think they'd be willing to give Trey Turner $250 million. But then again, you know, all of his attachments to the East Coast, maybe he wants to go back home. So if the Dodgers truly want Trey Turner back in Los Angeles, I think they'll make every effort to do that. But I don't think he's their biggest priority. And like I said, I don't think they're going to go over the top in order to try and re-sign him.
I don't get that at all.
Now,
I don't get it.
And now I'm rooting for anarchy here, Blake. I want, at this point, just give me Verlander and Correa on the Dodgers, and I want to see how the Dodger fan twists themselves into a pretzel.
Chaos. That's what I'm saying. That's what I said like a month ago, I think, George, when I was like, you know what, let me just get the absolute master plan of chaos, where you just sign Aaron Judge, move Mookie to second, bring in Carlos Correa, bring in Justin Verlander. I mean, just give the Dodgers like one season of being the most hated team in all of baseball. I think it'd be kind of fun, but knowing the Dodgers,
but here's the thing. With Judge, though, like, I just feel like that's such a pipe dream. Like, let me tell you, if the New York Yankees let Aaron Judge go after the season he had, where he literally led in almost every major statistical category, like, it would be unprecedented for a team like that to let someone like that go.
Yeah, I agree. And it sounded like today it's kind of between the Yankees and Giants. So at this point, it's probably who can outbid the other team. And, you know, if the Yankees somehow let him go, then it's going to be because the Giants just overpay and really go over the top in order to try to get him. But like I said in weeks past, if the Yankees are offering him $300 million and the Giants are offering him $325 million, once you get to a certain $100 million mark, isn't it all the same? I mean, I get it. You know, it's $25 million more, but how much money, you know, can you really have?
Depends.
I mean,
you got to do the tax work, Blake. You got to have your accountant do the tax work and figure it out.
I mean, the tax work in San Francisco and New York is fairly similar, I would say.
I don't know. That's what I'm getting at. I mean, I would guess that New York and California is not that far off.
Yes, yes. As someone who you lived in that area for a while, you know.
I did. That's right. You know, George, it's funny you just said that about rooting for chaos, because with Blake being here, you know, Blake talks to us about the Dodgers. We also usually throw in college football. Guys, I'm rooting for chaos this weekend in college football. I want USC to win Friday night, but then I want Kansas State to beat TCU. I want LSU to beat Georgia, and I want Purdue to beat Michigan, and I want to see college football go total chaos as well. So, George, you want chaos in baseball? I want chaos in college football this weekend.
Okay,
Blake,
cool.
Feedback.
I mean,
Blake, feedback. It was to you, Blake.
Blake, do you think that's feasible? Do you think that's possible? Like chaos in college football?
If Cappy would have said this a week ago, 100%. But the fact that like LSU lost, I think, this past weekend, Clemson lost. I mean, there was a chance that there were probably 7 to 8 teams that were still alive in the playoff hunt. But I think we're at the point now where the only question mark with the entire playoff rankings is probably going to be USC. Just because I think if Georgia loses, Michigan loses, TCU loses, that's all their first loss of the season. And I think they're guaranteed a spot. But things are going to get pretty, pretty interesting if USC drops a game this weekend to Utah, especially if it's a close loss. Maybe the committee says we'll have our first two-loss team in. Maybe they'll go to Ohio State. So unfortunately for Cappy, I don't think he's going to be getting quite the chaos he's wanting. But it's going to have to come at the hands of a USC loss if he wants things to get kind of interesting for the committee.
No, I don't want USC to lose. And if USC were to lose, they're not making it into the playoff with two losses to Utah. No chance.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, but I think the Trojans come out with the victory. I think it's like a 2.5-point spread for USC. I think they win by double digits this weekend.
Well, and by the way, I don't want Cappy any more predictions on USC, because every time you predict something on USC, like they still win, but the opposite happens. You've said like they're gonna dominate UCLA and whoever else they played or whatever, and then it's like the nail biter of nail biters, basically, in the two games you said would be blowouts.
Yep, I actually thought USC was gonna beat up on UCLA. Did not happen that way. That is absolutely 100% correct. I don't remember the other one, but it was probably Utah. It probably was the first time they went to Utah. Like, they're going to kill Utah. Yeah.
Right. You know? You're like, you're out here trying to, you know, flexing, and then they have close games. Don't say anything about that stuff anymore. Just say they'll win. Just leave it at that.
Is that what I was doing, flexing?
You were flexing.
Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't fronting, and I wasn't flossing.
So stupid.
I was just flexing.
You're so stupid.
No, it's true.
Blake, thank you for putting up with our nonsense as always. We appreciate it. We will talk to you next week.
Hey, no worries. And Cappy, if you're given 10 shots at a three-pointer, I believe in you. You can drain one.
Come on, one, dude?
No, you
just
can't.
One. Yes, dude.
No.
George,
no,
when you are a world-class athlete, even though I'm 52 years old, in your mind, you're still a world-class athlete. So you problem solve. You figure it out.
Yeah. Weren't you a world-class kicker and then almost like pulled like your calf muscle or something when you tried to do it at SoFi that day with
true.
Laura?
That is accurate. That's
right. Okay. All right. Yeah. Just making sure to remember that properly. All right. Blake Harris. Follow him on Twitter at Blake Harris TBLA. Follow his podcast. Subscribe to that. It is the something the Ravine. Hold on. What is it called?
Blake, what's
Inside the Ravine?
Inside the Ravine.
Yes, Inside the Ravine. Sorry. Inside the Ravine. And of course, his Substack, as I mentioned, always subscribe there. Don't be cheap like Happy. Blake, always a pleasure, brother. Talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks so much, guys. Enjoy the rest of your week and have a great weekend.
Bye, Balake.
You too, pal. Hey, real quick, Cappy, I just want people to know, this Sunday at LA Live, right there downtown, if you are around in that downtown LA area, feel free to stop by. They're doing a food drive at LA Live for the holidays on Sunday, December 4th. They'll be there most of the day, so make sure you get out there. I believe KTLA might be doing it with them as well, so I think on their website. LA Live, AEG.
Oh, okay, nice.
Yeah. So, you know, people who own the buildings over here where we do the show. So they're doing a food drive down there by the ice rink. So come down there on Sunday. I believe it's on our ESPN Los Angeles Twitter account as well. They posted it somewhere. So get out there and be part of the food drive. Help some people get some meals this holiday season. So.